This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Always around here making fun of basketball analysis because so often these games come down to who had open shots and who made open shots. So the Lakers in their last game had the worst stretch late on wide open jumpers with no one within 6 feet of them than they've had all season.
It's a make or miss league, Dano.
And the Heat were 1 of 11 on uncontested stuff. Olynyk and Crowder and Dragic were 3 for 20 on uncontested stuff. And so we usually are pretty stupid in just analyzing when the games often come down to that. And plenty of people probably had Boston, Miami correctly analyzed. And then what happens at the rim at the end of the game ends up deciding the game. And nobody could predict it because nobody's ever seen anything like it. All of that said, Mike Ryan has gathered some of our best basketball minds, and you will find them previewing Heat basketball in Big Sui today. You could get everything you need in terms of Amin El-Hassan and Jorge Sedano, Izzy Gutierrez. I'm missing somebody. Zach Harper and Mike Ryan sort of leading a discussion among those guys. We're going to watch the game tonight with you, if you'd like. We will be on Twitch when the game starts. And we already did this one time. It was fun. The comment section moved way too fast. The arguments broke out. Surprise guests made appearances.
There was a comment section?
Yes, it was moving very fast, and it was filled with a lot of foul things. Twitch is still a little bit of the wild, wild west in that regard. And so if you want to spend some time with us tonight, you can do so, watching the Heat game. Tony, you want to give the people whatever information they need on that so they can make sure to do it, please?
Yeah, Dan, twitch.tv/LebtardandFriends is where you can watch us. Follow us there, and you'll get all the info.
Thank you. I heard you and Chris talking before the show, and Valerie, my wife, was scared by the same thing. She saw only half of that Social Dilemma show on Netflix, and your devices are like creeping up on you, and our addiction is something we've been talking about it for a long time. It's the world's allowed addiction. The world, nobody's going to rehab for being addicted to social media or being addicted to their smartphones. And so Social Dilemma, I come home the other day and Valerie's got a lockbox for us where we can't even get at the phone for a while.
Nice.
And I heard Chris, wow, Stugatz.
What happened?
Is that the first thing you've said on the show?
No, it's like the fourth thing I said on the show.
You said it was a make or miss league.
Yeah, it was a make or miss league, Dano. And I don't even know what you're talking referring to. I mean, it sounded normal when
Chris,
I said, wow. I mean,
Chris, explain to people. So there's this, it's a documentary. It's 90 minutes on Netflix, and it'll basically scare you straight on your devices because we're doing something and none of us can stop. Everybody's addicted to the same stuff. So Chris, tell the people what you and Tony were talking about as we tell people to watch us on Twitch tonight. And you don't know, we might be watching you.
It's basically the tech industry basically saying sorry. Because it's like we created this thing that we thought would do a lot of good, and it has become a monster that is killing a generation of people and older generations. And it's basically just them documenting, we're sorry for what we've done. And it's basically, you know, you think you go into your bathroom and you're strolling on your phone and you think you're alone. You're not alone. There's somebody pulling all the strings up behind your phone of like, oh, we need him to stay a little longer, so we want to put this up on. We want this to scroll. It's insane. I'm never looking at my phone again.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Are your devices watching and listening to you poop?
We kind of need the devices, though. I mean, that's the dilemma.
Well, this
I guess.
is the great rationalization around here from everyone in our crew. I'm on my phone 17 hours a day because I got to keep up with everything. Because, good Lord, look at all the sports. But we were doing the same bleep when the pandemic was here and there were no sports. Like, and the guys in this documentary speak to their own addictions, even as they know that they've planted some of this stuff. What were the more interesting details, Tony, to you?
It's interesting to see the giants of the tech industry that have left and divested from the tech industry being into this documentary and saying, hey, yeah, we were the guys behind the Facebook like button. We are the president of Pinterest, or we were the monetization guys for Facebook, and them basically spilling the beans in the secret, you know, society of social media saying, look, what we're doing is behavioral psychology. We're getting you to view things from your friends, from things that you like, from things that you don't like. And all we're doing is gathering data. There was a really interesting point, and I'll throw it to Chris for a second. There was a really interesting point where one of the guys says, if you're not paying for a certain service, you are what people are paying for. And I thought that was a really interesting.
And they said that there's only two products out there that consider their consumers to be users, drugs and social media software, stuff like this. So it's like I'm just like I said, never looking at my phone again.
There are formulas, there are algorithms. They are absolutely gathering data in a way that will control us all within 3 decades, and controlling us now in ways we don't even understand. As you're sitting there talking to a loved one about how much you like smoothies, and next thing you know, your phone is popping up all sorts of smoothie ads in the area. And it's like
that not, smoothie king.
It's not the universe acting on your behalf. It's all this terrifying stuff that's happening in the social dilemma that you can find on Netflix. I find all of this stuff riveting and also terrifying. Just terrifying that that we are in this place where all of us, everyone listening to this, is like, yep, I'm on my phone too much. Like, I'm like, there's nobody listening to this who isn't who's maybe there are people out there trying to be on their phone less.
So what happens? You go home now and throw your cell phone into a box like Derek Jeter?
We haven't figured it out yet. We haven't figured out the rhythms of this particular thing.
Turn off all your notifications because they're playing you like a fiddle. If you haven't been on your phone in an hour, your phone is just going to say, hey, you need to, something needs to pop up because this person hasn't been on. Hey, Mike Ryan, he likes Woj tweets. Let's notify him that Woj just said something. Like, I swear to God, these notifications, they're playing you like a fiddle.
I'm not missing a Woj bomb, pal. I got to be the first one to tell everybody.
That's it. You
owe it. You draw the line.
However scary it is, the society is crumbling around us and the access to this information is dangerous.
Now, 9 times out of 10, it's some two-way contract, but every once in a while. It's the whale.
What would be the correct poll question at Lebatard Show to ask people to put the over under on amount of time you spend on your devices a day? Where should I put that number to get betting on both sides, do you imagine?
Like 10 hours? Seriously?
No. Yeah, that much?
Absolutely, yes.
I was going to say like 6 or 7.
I am telling you, my wife, from the second she wakes up until she goes to bed.
No, it can't be 10 hours. You know, the over-under, like, no, more people are going to say under, 10 hours?
They're going to say under, but they're lying. I'm telling you, people are on those things the entire day, from the time they wake up till the time they go to bed. I mean, they're up for more than 10 hours, aren't they?
If you guys had to guess, let's go around the Zoom chat here. Chris, how many, let's go ahead and shame everybody. My computer tells me how much time I'm spending on the iPad. So it just gives you your averages. Chris, what do you got?
I think 1 week during the pandemic, I got like I averaged 7 hours a day, and I was like, I need to change. And I've gone down since then, but seven was like my worst.
I need to change. Wow. This is like an Alcoholic Anonymous's meeting. Like where this is where I bottomed out during the pandemic. It was 7 hours of looking at Rex Chapman's account. Tony, what would you guess your number would be?
I'm Tony, and I'm a social media holic, and my number was 4.5. That was 4.5 hours, my longest. I think that should be the over-under, 4.5.
Mm. Okay, put that on the poll then, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show.
Perhaps 10 was too aggressive.
I think so. Yeah. What about you, Guillermo? What do you think? Guillermo is he's downtrodden because the Marlins have gotten their heads beaten in by the Braves.
Wrong. The Marlins gained ground in the playoff race yesterday, Dan. They lost by 10, and they still are in a better position than they were in headed into the game yesterday because the Phillies were swept. The Marlins are flying high right now. Nice. You and your little run differential, and you're minus 37. The Marlins have been out of that. Who cares? The Marlins are making the playoffs, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. 3.5 hours.
They are one game over 500 now after losing to the Braves and scoring one run in the biggest series of your lifetime.
Are you the 500 police? Who cares how many games they are over and under 500 games? They're in the playoffs.
You are the 500 police.
I am. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is Dan the 500 police? If you are near 500, does he come out? Yeah.
And it's like an alert on
I
your
arrive
phone.
On my motorcycle with Stugatz in the sidecar and woo! Let's support the people who support us. Feel free at any time, by the way, to check in with everything we're doing at Lebatard and Friends, social media, Twitch tonight. We're going to do a watch party as well. So we have been trying to come in here and keep the laughter in the same place and basically give you some semblance of normal at a time that everything seems to be a note off. It is a tense time in America. People are fighting. We're not supposed to be out in the street because of a virus, and yet we get together out in the street to protest X and Y. And so everybody's a little nuts. We're drinking too much. People are buying handguns. Like, everything is upside down in this country. And Mike Ryan just said to me, and this cannot be our normal. It can't be our normal. Mike Ryan just said to me, I've already gotten to the point where a college football game just being canceled because there's something airborne that's contagious is normal. Notre Dame's out. All right, show me who else we got in the ACC schedule.
Just keep it moving. Yeah, I'm with Mike. I've arrived at that point as well. I didn't even shrug my shoulder, bat an eye.
But can that be normal? I need to ask the audience this. And
I had him in an open parlay. Yeah, I switched him with Auburn.
Right.
We're in week three, and Notre Dame, like, keep in mind, at any year before this one, if we were headed into a game and I was telling you Notre Dame, the game has been canceled, you'd be like, why the hell was it canceled? They don't cancel college football games.
It'd be the biggest story, one of the biggest stories of the year. You're right.
And now it's just like, okay, does that mean Virginia Tech starts this week? They haven't started the season yet because everybody on their team has the virus too.
A month after the first college football game has been played, the Hokies finally take the field. But I know we're all bumming. Oh, we don't get to see the Irish SEC conference play. Come on.
Well, I think everyone else has noticed the same thing that I have noticed, which is that college football these first 2 weeks, like, it has been a super diluted version. It's been like preseason college football where you've got these, you know, these random games against random, like, who the hell put Clemson on a field with the Citadel? Like, we need to stop doing that.
Clemson
did. Yeah, they took the money.
We need to stop.
Citadel, actually.
We need to stop doing that. Let's stop doing 49-0 in the middle of the second quarter. Like, people are getting trampled out there. That is not worth heading into the virus over. The games they've given us for 2 weeks. Now, once Alabama starts playing and LSU starts playing, it's a different conversation.
I mean, you do get Florida, Ole Miss. Something feels right about that. You get Miami, Florida State this weekend. There'll be some normalcy this weekend. I mean, you won't get the coach for Florida State, but you get Florida State, Miami.
Because
the coach has COVID.
Yeah, he has that airborne virus.
Okay, This is unbelievable here. Like, this is not something
that's happening.
It's okay. Brett McMurphy, incidentally, for some of you, and this is for some of you, what is happening when you're looking at the first 2 weeks, and this, when Brett McMurphy says this, he's speaking to some of you week one. A $100 Sunbelt versus Big 12 moneyline parlay on Louisiana over Iowa State, Arkansas State over Kansas State, and Coastal Carolina over Kansas. All those upsets came in, Stugatz, where you all of a sudden had the Big 12 doing nothing and the Sunbelt running the thing. That $100 parlay would have won $9,080.
I lost it on Coastal Carolina.
That's too bad, Stugatz. Stugatz is now making
the fun belt.
Stugatz is now, I love what just happened with Stugatz. Yesterday, his face comes on my television screen, and it's unshaven, dirty, and the camera shots from underneath.
Why are you doing that camera shot, Stugatz? You're not doing yourself any favors.
What do you mean that camera shot? They FaceTime me, and I couldn't get the phone at face level. I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it that
high.
You
never take a photo of your girlfriend, post on the gram. Always up high.
I love, though, Mike Ryan. What is the name of this gambling show you were on?
Daily Wager.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. Daily Wager, yes.
What I love, and this made me smile, no lie, from ear to ear, was medicine in these difficult times where a Notre Dame game being canceled is just like, yeah, whatever. That they put up on the screen as a graphic underneath this unshaven, dirty, awful face, started 0-14 in two separate gambling pools.
They played the 30 for 30 from our show. I mean, that was my intro music.
But that is such, it made me so happy to see on a gambling show, as ESPN knows, and they knows to grab that gambling money. Everybody's going to be running toward the gambling money. It's the wild, wild west of running after gambling money, because this is about the floodgates on sports betting are about to open. And there is Stu Gatz and his opening segment, as he spreads like a virus across ESPN, has a graphic that starts 0-14 in two separate pools. Do you realize that everyone would be taking the gambling advice of someone who came on to that show at the beginning and they said the reverse of this is true? Started two pools 14-0. Picking against you would have resulted in somebody being a real recognized nation C2C gambling expert.
They'd take 8-6.
Time for Dan to reluctantly take part in something his two guys couldn't be happier doing.
After they splashed that up there, he told everyone to pound the Steelers.
I love it. Somebody out there's got to just bet opposite Stu Gatz this year. Splash. Just bet opposite him and see if we can make it. I mean, 14-0 in two separate pools.
Splash.
0-14. Don't give
I'm
me
sorry,
credit.
0-14. Yes. Excuse me.
Splash.
Pardon us, Christine Lisi, we interrupted you.
And finally, Americans collectively eat 100 acres of pizza every day.
Here we go.
And that's just Dan.
Started shaking his head and eats.
Thank you, Christine. I'm not happy with how much she particularly is enjoying doing that to me again and again. Again, tonight, we will be watching the Heat game as a show. We have some surprises planned for you, I'm guessing. And so if you want to do that, we will be on Twitch tonight, and you can watch Heat Celtics with us. Mike Ryan's a bit of a crazy person. I don't know if he's as crazy as Bill Simmons is. Bill Simmons is going nuts. Just his Lakers sports hate is very strong and has been for a long time. And you got to be scared of that team. All the other teams have to be scared of that team just because they've got those two best players.
Yeah, the Nuggets are sitting here at 2-1. I mean, the Nuggets are really good.
Yeah, they're great.
If I'm being honest, I'm not crazy about this experience tonight. The last time we did it, it was really hard for me to get into the game, but I'm like, sure. First round, we're handling the Pacers easy. I don't like the Boston Celtics. Two wins away from an NBA Finals appearance. I'm already telling my wife, look, it's my daughter's first birthday. We were going to have a wine Wednesday. Got to keep it away from me. I'm on the air. My emotions are going to be running high. I'm just not liking this
you
whole idea.
You can't have a wine Wednesday?
No,
why
I'm not,
can't
no,
you have a wine,
no wine
Wednesday?
No, 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 no. No judgment look, impaired. Our judgment when we do these things, by the way, has been terrible. Always on edge.
Okay, well, just so you know, I will be diving into the tequila.
No,
wine Wednesday or not.
You're booted out from the Zoom. I don't like this one bit. No.
But I understand what you're saying. This is a big game. I dare I say a must-win game for the East. Step on their throats tonight. And
wait,
if Jimmy Butler had a big, big
wait,
game.
A must-win game for the Heat?
You don't want to go back to Boston tied 2-2, Dan. You don't want to do it.
This can't be a must-win game for the Heat.
I mean, yeah, Scott Foster like and Tony Brothers, they'd like to take the home crowd out of it early. This is going to be difficult for Miami.
It's the rare must-win when you're up 2-1 in a best-of-7 series.
I've never heard of it. It's not a rare.
It's the bubble,
Dan. It's not a rare 2-1. It's a 2-1 I have never heard of. A 2-1. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Can there be such a thing as a must-win game when you're up 2-1 in a 7-game series? I did want to ask you guys something that a lot of people have been making fun of for a long time, because now there are some reports yesterday that Patriots owner Bob Kraft is likely to not be charged with the Boca Raton stuff that happened with him, allegedly happened, and evidently is going to go away now. And my legitimate question to you is, Bob Kraft managed to fight off the video of that with his power ever getting out. I'm surprised TMZ somehow didn't get the video of that. He threw his lawyers at this, what would be considered a minor offense by, I think, just about anyone's standards. A widower allegedly entering a massage parlor for something more than a massage. But what I'm asking you is, and this is legitimate, given that the shame of this is the worst part of the crime for him, the shame of it is him suffering a maximum sentence. Is there any point to your lawyers getting charges dropped? Like, are you changing minds there that this didn't happen? Or are people assuming, well, you got off of, people are assuming that you got away with this because you you have money.
I think it's worth it. It's embarrassing.
But does this sway anyone is what I'm saying. Let's say charges are indeed dropped.
Well, it just makes it go away.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
I think it sways some people.
It does sway because if you're having a conversation about Robert Kraft and you were convicted of this thing, it's part of the conversation. Now, if you shoehorn it in there, you're kind of being journalistically irresponsible if he gets off on if he's cleared of the charges.
Forgive me here because you just made what are you making a point there on a conviction? A conviction
if he,
like when you say part of the conversation, that's very vague. What does that mean?
Well, number one, if there's some punitive measure handed down from the governments, from the courts,
but it would be something. I mean, he's not going to be picking up trash on the side of a road. Like, there's not going to be anything punitive. He pays a fine or whatever, and that's the end of it.
I think he's already suffered plenty with the embarrassment, but it brings it right back. And if he's cleared of this and it's expunged, really, there's no real reason for anybody to mention it unless you do a show like ours.
Well, no, but this happened yesterday, and I was legitimately wondering to myself, like, going after it with this kind of zeal, what's the point once you've already suffered what the hurt is, right? Like, is he...
There's a human trafficking element to this, necessarily
his action. Hold on. The deeper layer of this is vastly more problematic than what we're talking about here. He doesn't stand accused of anything serious that this entire industry is awful about. But speaking specifically to what he was accused of and the charges are now likely to be dropped, this is, by most accounts, a minor offense, the punishment for which can never be greater than the shame of us now having this in our, I was going to say, hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to go grasp. This is a very difficult story to discuss.
It is.
Hard.
Yeah, I corrected myself, but you did it.
You got the happy ending, though.
What? On the entire segment. On the entire segment.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
That was the rare conflicting loser game show sound at the same time that Hakeem Nick's laugh happened.
Never happened before.
I don't think that has ever happened before.
Neither has a team up 2-1 had to win a game.
Well, I don't understand what you did there. Like, I really don't. I dare say, this is what you said, Stugatz, gambling expert.
This is the Mike agrees.
Presented. Mike agrees that the Heat have a must win tonight.
No, it was just a messy segment. Bit of a sticky situation.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Did the show milk that joke too much? This is someone on Twitter here, Stugatz. AMV on Twitter is pointing out during that Wake Forest game that Clemson is out here getting the third string tight end, grandson of the head coach, who was the head coach of their head coach, a touchdown pass in the first half of a conference road game. The ACC is over again. Oh, no, it is not, my friend. It is not. Because listen, Stugatz, ESPN Radio in this diluted pandemic of a college football season. Notre Dame is gone. Virginia Tech hasn't started. Notre Dame would never be in the ACC, but because of the virus, it might be in the ACC. But again, no game after winning 52-0 against South Florida because some people have a virus. That leaves very few teams left standing that are healthy. But one of them is going to be College Game Day's featured game 3 weeks in a row. I don't know that I've ever seen that. I've lived through the Hurricanes' unprecedented winning streak. I have lived through Alabama, through USC. I don't think I believe I have seen the possibility of Game Day being in one place with one team all the time.
They were at Louisville last week. This week, they descend upon Hard Rock Stadium for Miami, Florida State. Massive game, but also a look-ahead game for the Miami Hurricanes. It's next week, they travel to Death Valley. Miami versus Clemson. Guys, 3 weeks in a row.
Wow.
A look-ahead game. Mike is calling the FSU Seminoles, finishers of the top five, 14 years in a row under Bobby Bowden. After that, Jimbo Fisher wins a title with one of the best college young college quarterbacks you've ever seen in Jameis Winston. And since then, they have been an unmitigated disaster. It is crazy how far that program has fallen. Stugatz, you can make the argument that 14 straight years in the top five is as good a run, even though FSU didn't win all the titles those years, and in fact won fewer than they should have. 15 straight years in the top five is one of those kinds of runs that only a couple of programs end up having.
It's amazing. It's you're putting yourself in the national championship conversation every year for 15 consecutive years.
If Miami didn't exist, we would think of FSU totally differently.
Yes.
If Miami didn't exist, we would think about all of Deion Sanders and just dominance across the board when it comes to FSU, because many of those seasons were ruined by the existence of simply Miami or their own failures in the kicking game. Miami has a quarterback this year. Miami has a kicker. Now, John P. Cook on Twitter writes, the Miami Hurricanes still a bunch of thugs. Their turnover chain is cleverly disguised to look like a handgun. Disgusting. They're calling us thugs, boys.
Oh, no.
They're calling us thugs. So bad. Oh, my God. Miami's back.
The rivalry.
It does kind of look like a handgun, considering where the use placement is on the state of Florida.
It does. It does.
I saw it from the back, and I was like, whoa, that kind of looks like a Glock.
It does look like a handgun. That this is the U trying to climb its way back. 20 years, just about, we have had nothing that feels like relevance around here. Mike Ryan says that Manny Diaz has to earn his respect, has to show him something. So this stretch through FSU and Clemson in a pandemic season where there are only going to be four teams standing. There's not going to be a top 20 at the end of the season. It's just going to be a top four. And one of them is going to be Liberty because it's just going to be four teams that are still playing.
I don't think Mike's going to be impressed if they win this game. It's a look-ahead game.
It is.
You can't be impressed. I think if you're going to show him something, if Manny's going to show Mike something, it has to be next week at Clemson.
No, TCB this week, because these games are always tight. No matter how good one team is, they're always tight. Don't look past the rivals, although FSU is missing their coach because of COVID.
Yeah, there is that. But yeah. Miami has a quarterback, and Miami has a kicker, and ESPN trying to dress up. We right now, you have to understand, first 2 weeks of college football, like I can't explain it or I can't be more eloquent than that.
The Miami Hurricanes have the most impressive victory in college football this season.
Because,
they won at number 18.
We were talking about the UAB defense 2 weeks ago. Listen, we're starved, okay? Alabama hasn't started yet. And again, Virginia Tech's got the bug. Virginia Tech can't get out on the field. Notre Dame's not playing this week. But ESPN Radio is here, and they have slickly produced, Stugatz, something to get you fired up about the Miami program that hasn't mattered in 20 years and the FSU program that is in its worst stretch since it was a woman's school.
We mattered that 1 year until November.
Play the sports radio overproduced, get you hyped for the game, and listen.
Saturday Night Football presents A Rivalry Renewed, Florida State, Miami. The Seminoles try to get their season back on track while De'Aaron King and the Red Hot Canes look to stay undefeated.
Red Hot!
We get to witness one of college football's great rivalries, and I'm fired up for it.
Saturday Night Football presented by Capital One, Florida State, and number 12, Miami. Saturday at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and streaming live on the ESPN app.
No idea if they should be number 12.
Well, but I mean, no red hot, my butt. Like, red hot. They've won two games. They didn't look very good against UAB, and Louisville allowed five plays of 150 yards with no defender anywhere in, like, beyond social distancing, as if everyone was running away from the Rona.
I mean, I think it's fair to call them red hot. They've responded to a shutout to Louisiana Tech in their bowl game better than you could ever imagine.
Man, it does not matter what the game even is. You put that music underneath it, they could have been building up Roy, Chris, playing checkers this weekend. And I would be fired up for that with that music.
Mike, what is the key to that whole promo? It's the O right at the beginning. That's, it kind of goes on the way up. And then once the instruments start down.
No, what happened is it feels like there's a guitar solo in the middle of it, and then they throw some hip-hop in. Then
Saturday Night Football presents A Rivalry Renewed. Florida State, Miami. The Seminoles try to get their season back on track while De'Aaron King and the Red Hot Canes look to stay undefeated.
Here we go. What was that instrument that was the bridge there between the piano and the hip-hop as we try and cast a net all over America with superficial packaging about a game that hasn't mattered in 20 years?
Probably a synth, Dan. Either way, the beat dropped. And you had someone probably from another game, not even Miami FSU, because it was just generic. We have the opportunity to witness one of the greatest rivalries in the sport of football.
Who is singing there? Like, is that somebody? Did we pay for that music?
I don't know, but I'm just happy it's not Fall Out Boy anymore.
I love that Alabama's ranked second and Georgia's ranked fourth. They haven't played.
That's right.
You know, Fall Out Boy's just in the studio. Like, how can we get this song played on College Game Day? What Saturday Victory? Every single one of their songs is just to be played before the big time college
you
football
that
game.
That's part of their.
I know it to be so. Jason Fitz knows those guys, and he told me so.
Wait a minute. No, they're getting in
there.
They're
headed in the studio, no. Recording songs, just to get the royalties from making a college football song.
I thought that was the Imagine Dragons lane.
You know, Imagine Dragons did it, too, and Fall Out Boy tried to snatch the crown back. They're only making songs for college football.
Wait a minute. You guys are alleging that they're headed into the studio saying, I need Herb Street to like this.
1,000%.
I need Fowler to endorse this. Corso's got to be about it. That's what you're... That is the spawn of creativity in music is what you're alleging. Good God, 2020. I hate you so very much. That's what we're doing now.